Chocolate is one of the most popular foods in the world, and it has a history almost as complex as its flavor. We continue our series Globivores, Food Travels Around the World Since 1492, with a look at how the cacao bean took the world's menus by storm. Joining us is chef and chocolatier, Jacques Torres, the founder and owner of the Jacques Torres Chocolate Company, and author of numerous cookbooks, including A Year in Chocolate. We also have with us Professor Louis Grivetti. He's on the line from UC Davis. His book is called Chocolate, History, Culture, Heritage, and I'm very pleased to welcome both of them to our program today. Hello.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Now, Louis, do we know what part of the Americas the cacao tree evolved in and where it was domesticated? Is it a tree or is it a bush?
Well, it's a tree, and it originally grew within the tropics north and south of the equator, but it was domesticated first by Native Americans in the area of northeastern Peru, southeastern Ecuador, at the headwaters of the Amazon, sometime around 4,000 to 5,000 years before the Common Era.
But we associate it with Mesoamerica.
Yeah, it became associated with Mesoamerica as chocolate only later. We have no evidence that the peoples who lived in the Andes or on the east slope of the Andes ever made chocolate until after the arrival of the Spanish. But we do know that by at least 2,000 years before the Common Era, chocolate was being made, or the pulp within the pod was being fermented by peoples known as the Olmec, who lived in the area of central Mexico.
And the name chocolate doesn't come from the Olmec language, does it?
It stems from the Olmec and then gets transported and translated into different Mayan languages, and then it comes into the Mixtec or Aztec language much, much later.
And how was it used then? Wasn't it generally mixed with chilies?
Yeah, before arrival of the Spanish, chocolate was always a beverage, which is interesting to know. It didn't become a solid and more global distribution until after the early 1800s. But it was mixed. It was without sugar. It was mixed with chili, things like marigold leaves, things like pinon nuts, vanilla was another major spice. And there are other local spices for which we have Aztec and Mayan names, which are difficult to actually attach to plants today, but we're still trying to do that. So it was a multi-ingredient beverage that was served only to men because it was thought to be too stimulating for women and for children of both genders.
Now, a few years ago, Häagen-Dazs tried to introduce a line of Mayan chocolate, which caused a bit of historical controversy. What was the problem there?
Well, it was interesting because one of the key ingredients in the Häagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream was the spiced cinnamon. And cinnamon did not arrive in the New World until after Spanish came in 1519. And so cinnamon was native to Madagascar in the areas of East Africa and was traded up into the Mediterranean. But again, cinnamon is now clearly linked with chocolate and many different beverages and different products like ice cream and other solid bars. But cinnamon did not exist in the New World before 1519.
So they shouldn't have called it Mayan chocolate. Maybe that's the reason it didn't last as one of the flavors.
Yeah.
Jacques, some people use the words cocoa and cacao interchangeably. Are they the same thing?
I believe they are the same. I mean, in French, cacao is the same word that we will use here. And a lot of even my customer call, cocoa powder. So I think that's a word that everybody understands, but it will be the same in my opinion.
Now, Louis pointed out that the Aztecs used to mix make hot chocolate, in effect, with chili powders. Is that hot chocolate popular in France?
Hot chocolate is very popular in France, not the one with spices, the one with just the chocolates and milk and usually no spices in it.
The same sort of thing that kids drink here, or even some adults.
Yes, here most people will use cacao, and in France we use, and this is what I use also, Finnish chocolates, which is a huge difference between the two.
Finnish chocolate?
Yes, basically cacao is a byproduct, the cacao powder will be a byproduct of making chocolates. So when you make chocolates, you're going to refine it, you're going to conch it, you're going to get rid of all the unpleasant flavor that can be in the chocolate. The conching going to do that. So when you use a finished product, it's way better than using just cacao.
You roast your own cocoa beans. Is the process similar to roasting coffee?
Pretty much. The equipment is pretty much the same. It's very... Roasting chocolate is a little bit difficult due to the fat content into the cacao bean. If you don't cool down those beans very fast, they keep cooking, the fat keep going, and then you go over what you want, so it's easy to burn them. So it's a little bit more delicate than coffee.
And probably a little more difficult to make at home. Don't the beans also have to be fermented at a certain point in the life cycle?
When the beans get harvested, they get fermented before fermented and dried before they can send to the country we're going to use those cacao beans. So yes, they are fermented. And a lot of time you will see coffee not too far from the cocoa plantation.
Does chocolate taste different depending on where the cocoa beans have been grown, like coffee?
Yes, definitely a lot of difference with the terroir. It's like wine, like coffee, like basically a lot of things. You will get completely different flavor into the chocolates. And also the type of tree that you're going to get the chocolate or the cocoa from. You know, it's few different trees, from a Trinitario to Forastero to Criollo. And depending where those trees are going to grow and what tree they are, the end up chocolate is going to be a lot different.
Louis, can cacao only be grown in the tropics?
Yes. The only exception would be if it would be grown in hothouses or special heated areas. The other curious thing about the cacao growing is that once the pods are harvested and the pods cut from the trees, the beans remain viable for planting and for growing only for about 7 to 10 days. And this has had major impact upon the spread of the tree globally, where people who have spread the cacao have had to do so spreading seedlings, shipping seedlings across the Pacific and across the Atlantic.
Now, how much has the plant been hybridized to meet changing tastes? Jacques mentioned many different kinds, but I'm assuming that there was only one originally. Are there heritage varieties still being grown in South America and in Mexico and Central America?
It's a very good question. It's one I asked about 12 years ago when I first began working on chocolate, whether remote valleys with very, very ancient trees. And one of our colleagues down in Florida, Juan Montemayor, has done genetic studies looking at the origins of these trees. And we do find that there are some very ancient trees, but it has been hybridized as it has been taken out of the Americas into different portions of West Africa, into the Southeast Asia areas as well, and into Central America. It has changed. And again, Jacques is absolutely right that there are different flavors and different nuances in the flavor and the smells and the odors and the wonderful things that can encapsulate chocolate from different parts of the world.
We're talking with Louis Gravetti of UC Davis and Jacques Torres of the Jacques Torres Chocolate Company about chocolate as part of our Globivores series, chocolate which came to the Americas after, I guess, the conquistadors conquered the Aztecs. Where do you get most of your beans from, Jacques?
As a small buyer, I don't always have the first choice. I do love Venezuela, which is one of the best, I believe, origin. But Madagascar, Trinidad are also very, very good origin for chocolates. Lately, I get some cacao bean from Dominican Republic. And I believe that we do pretty good chocolates with that. The flavor is pretty complex. I do an 80% cocoa content, and I'm very happy with the result that I get.
Well, Louis talked about the importance of freshness when you want to plant them. What about when you're about to roast them? Does it matter whether the beans were just picked or whether they were picked 3 months ago?
Actually, 3 months will be pretty much the time that it's going to take for me to receive them, certainly 3-4 months. it's not as a problem than when you want to regrow that chocolates. But of course, after 6 months, 8 months, you know, it's better to use them earlier than later.
Now, Louis, when did Europeans first encounter chocolate? Was it when Cortes came to Mexico City?
It's an interesting question because it's one that still hasn't been resolved. There's a hint that there may have been chocolate on the island of Cuba before the arrival of the Spanish on the mainland in 1519, but we still are yet to confirm that through archaeological studies and things. But it turns out that one of the most interesting things happens when Cortes and his conquistadors arrive in Mexico City. One of the events that takes place is described in several of the diaries of the literate officers, and they describe a dinner in which they are dining with Montezuma, and they're served chocolate in cups of pure gold. And I think that by serving it in the cups of gold, well, I'm sure that the Spaniards' eyes lit up quite large. But again, this chocolate would have been very, very bitter, and probably would not have been very, very well received by the Spanish men drinking it at first. But they were looking more for the gold. So we do know that it was served in the court of Montezuma to the males, and especially to the adult men.
And then, when did the Spaniards start bringing it to Europe or all over the world as part of the Columbian
Exchange?
That's
another good question. If you look on the web, you'll find there's a lot of misinformation. Some people will talk about the arrival of cacao and chocolate right immediately after Columbus, which is clearly an error. But we suspect it comes in sometime about 1540, between 1540 and 1560. It comes into Spain. And then it's gradually...
As something to be drunk? Or were people starting to thinking about making a more solid version?
No, it's always to be drunk. It doesn't become a solid until really the early 1800s to the first third of the 19th century. But it goes from Spain, and then the Portuguese, it gets into Portugal, and then also it comes into southwestern France. Then it begins to move, and then we get it into England, and it gets into more in the central part of Europe, and then this Portuguese take it to Africa, and it comes into the in the Gulf of Benin and to the called Sao Tome and Principe, the Equatorial Guinea, and then jumps from there to what is then the Gold Coast or now modern day Ghana. And ultimately with the English, and then the French ultimately will bring it into the Ivory Coast, and what they need supplies of the beans, and what they're so that therefore they look to the Caribbean for the islands, and then so these plantations are also being developed on the islands by the French, and then the Spanish and the British, and with the Portuguese in Brazil as well. It will jump ultimately to India. It'll jump into Southeast Asia, and then will be brought into Spain, brought into China through Macau by Jesuit priests, and will come into Japan by Dutch and Portuguese traders at different times.
Now, Jacques, you come from Southwest France, so which was mentioned as one of the early places. Were you aware of a long tradition when you were growing up?
No. Actually, I come from Provence, and I was not aware of the long, you know, that long tradition, and I get really interested to chocolates after I start to learn about pastry. I was, you know, 15 years old, which is a while ago.
Belgium is usually associated with really good chocolate in our minds, and Switzerland to some degree as well. Did the Belgians get their cacao beans from their African colonies?
A lot of the Belgium chocolate, yes, will come from Africa, and then you will have sometime blend where some of the cacao bean into fabrication of chocolates will come from different parts of the world to give different flavor or different characteristic to the chocolates.
How do you turn the beans into a bar?
The process can be easy or complicated. If you look at, I went to spend a week in Titotilan next to Oaxaca, to learn about the use of spice to make my hot chocolates. And I saw there people making chocolates on a stone with a matate, just by first roasting the cacao bean, removing the shell, get what we call the nibs, then grind those nibs into a stone, add a little bit of sugar, they add a little bit of spice, and then sometimes few almonds, keep grinding, and if you put that into a small container, you will get a bar of chocolates. We do pretty much, again, you know, pretty much the same thing. We don't add any nut, but it's a lot more mechanical what we do.
Now, Louis, when did people start doing this, adding fats and sweeteners to chocolate?
What we do know is that within about 50 years after the arrival of the Spanish, they are adding ingredients from Europe, a large range of ingredients coming in, and by that time, it is now a beverage that's also being consumed by Spanish women who were associated with the nobility.
People thought it was also it helped their health, didn't they?
I mean, that's an interesting question.
Linnaeus thought that it cured his hemorrhoids.
Well, Linnaeus thought it cured his hemorrhoids. When we started working on the history of chocolate, we found more than 100 different assertions that different people through the years have claimed for chocolate, of which is really only about five that really, really stand the test of time, is that if you were tubercular or you were severely underweight, drinking a lot of chocolate would let you add on more flesh. That was we know that still today. The second one is that it helps the digestive process, and then it also it enlivens the lethargic. Is a common phrase used in the 18th and 19th century texts. People who are kind of tired, and we do know that if you make chocolate in the traditional way, it's quite stimulating in the sense of sleep reductions. It's like having about four or five cups of espressos. Right off the bat, and then it also curiously, if you were hyperactive, chocolate was prescribed to calm the hyperactive. In that sense.
Jacques, do you think that's why chocolates are given in a romantic sense?
I think that chocolate can cure anything that you can get. You know, chocolate is the miracle product, and especially for lovers. You know, it's one of those easy things to give to a significant other. Pretty much everyone loves chocolates, you know, it's pretty commonly loved, and as a gift, it's easier than a bouquet of flowers. You know, you enjoy it maybe more, or a bottle of wine, or you know, it's something that you can give to pretty much anyone.
Now, in Mexican cooking and in some European cuisines, chocolate is also used in dishes. Mole poblano is one of the many moles, but it's the one with chocolate in it. There were chocolate sauces in Sicily. As somebody who has worked with it mostly as a medium for desserts, have you ever, when you were at Le Cirque, did you ever put it into a sauce?
Yes, I do cook with it, and I love to use the nibs, which is the roasted cacao bean when you remove the shell. That's called nibs, and that's the purest kind of chocolate you can get. And that's actually, I love to take a piece of salmon, season it, and then just press it on the nibs and put that into the frying pan, cook it nib side, then turn it, and then stick it in the oven to finish cooking the salmon. You can even cook with cocoa butter, which is, you know, 100% fat, but it will cook very well. And that's actually a very good dish. You get the crunch, you get a little bit of the flavor of the chocolates. It's a good dish. I also do some little appetizers using high cocoa content chocolates. So definitely you can use it in several dishes.
And we're going to post one of your hot chocolate recipes on our show page. Louis, before you go, when did people start realizing that you could mix it with other things like berries or peanut butter or sea salt more recently, milk to make milk chocolate?
The milk to make milk chocolate comes in about the 1828, 1830s when this blend of Mr. Nestle and Mr. Peters, and they have excesses of milk and they have excess of chocolate, and they make milk chocolate. I've been really intrigued over the last 10 years with the flavors that are produced by these artisanal chocolate manufacturers, where you have bacon flavored in your chocolate and sea salt and things of this sort. And then what it does, it adds basic variety to the spice of life and this wonderful food. And what it is, I think the wonderful artisans who are experimenting with chocolate and making new concoctions, I think this is a really great thing. And I know Jacques is at the forefront of this as well. And the ability to make all these wonderful products is mostly within the last 10 years.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I think that's the latest trend.
When did we learn that salt went so well with it? I understand sweets like strawberries and other kinds of berries.
I mean, salt in a way makes sense because a lot of times salt will enhance flavor, and salt go pretty well with chocolates. You know, you have to really work on the dosage, but salt can make flavor, enhance flavor. Bacon or those other products, this is not something that I touch because it's a little bit too far away from what I like. So I try to basically do what I like.
And we thank both of you. Love reading your books. Jacques Torres' book is A Year in Chocolate, and Louis Gravetti's is Chocolate History, Culture, Heritage. You can also find Jacques Torres' chocolates on
Hudson and King or MrChocolate.com. That's the easiest way to find us.
Thank you
both. Pleasure.
Thank you both so much for being
My
on
pleasure.
Our show talking
Thank you so
on
much.
This Global
best
War
wishes,
series.
Jacques, and best wishes, Leonard.
Thank you very much. Thank you.